If you've listened to enough sermons of mine, you'll know for sure that I am not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. But I've also never avoided the mention of hell. In fact, I'd be negligent if I did fail to mention it. So along with today's message on heaven is the mention of hell. Along with the wanting of heaven is the warning of hell. Where will we spend eternity? The best I understand from the Bible, it's two places, two choices. It's either heaven or it's hell. Well, today's message, it's again from a country song. The name of the song is Outlaw's Reward by Hank Williams Jr. And in this series that we're calling God and Country, I'm taking a country song each week and using the lyrics to bring out a gospel message. And the term God and Country kind of has two meanings for the word country. Obviously, I'm using a country song, but also it's about our country and how our country does need God. So let me start off with reading the lyrics of Hank Williams Jr.'s song, Outlaw's Reward. I've always been labeled as a rip-roaring, hell-raising kind. But you know, here lately, I've got other things on my mind, like living and dying, and where I'll spend eternity. What kind of reward, Jesus, have you got out on me? Well, down here on earth, there's a big price on my head, but I've got all my friends and my loved ones who'll cry when I'm dead. And someday we'll all sing along from the other side, because I've heard that everyone's wanted behind your heavenly gates in the sky. What kind of reward, Jesus, have you got out on me? I wonder how the words on my big wanted poster do read. And oh, how I'd love to be taken into your custody. What kind of reward, Jesus, do you have out on me? In this God and Country series, I've most recently been teaching on heaven. Using the last two songs, I've taught about what our heavenly bodies will look like and be like. And then last week, I talked about heaven being a reward. And in today's lyrics, I'm going to teach about making a decision for heaven. The lyric that I'm going to focus on is this. From the song it said, "But you know, here lately, I've got other things on my mind, like living and dying and where I'll spend eternity. I've got other things on my mind, like living and dying and where I'll spend eternity." I sure hope that it crosses your mind ever so often, no matter what age you are, about where you'll spend eternity. Because one day this life will end, and we go one of two places, best I can tell. That's the lyric of the song I want to bring out, where we'll spend eternity. And the gospel words I'm going to use to bring out this message on heaven and where we'll spend eternity is actually from the book of Luke, and it's in chapter 16. Luke 16, and I'll start with verse 19 and go through 31. This section of scripture in Luke is called the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And what I want to remind us all of is that a parable is just a made-up story to make a spiritual point. This, and Jesus told many parables, this being one of them. And Lazarus, this rich man and Lazarus, are the two key people in the story. Let's not be confused. This is not the Lazarus who was a close friend of Jesus, along with Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters, who was raised from the dead. This is just a made-up name, Lazarus. In fact, the rich man doesn't even get a name. So here we go. Let's take this parable from Luke and see what it says. It's Jesus talking, and Jesus says, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen. Not everybody could afford fine linen, but certainly most people could not afford purple. That was extra rare, extra expensive. And this man who was clothed, this rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, he lived each day in luxury. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps, and at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried and went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now here he is being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man then replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, they will repent of their sins and turn to God." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." And aren't those true words even today? Seems like we know somebody who's risen from the dead, and people don't pay much attention to that. It doesn't seem to affect their belief. We know that Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead, and we have it recorded in the Bible, and there are churches all over the country, all over the world. There are pastors who are preaching this very message. And again, the Bible's available to us at any time, even on a smartphone, to find out this information. But it seems like people still are not paying attention or don't care. Well, my message today is not long. It's not complex. It's very simple. It's very to the point. It's easy to understand. And hopefully it'll help you to make a decision, if you haven't already, about where you will spend eternity. When I look at this parable, I see that there's 11 things to bring out. Again, it's not going to be a long message, so some of these points will be very quick because they're so obvious and they're so simple. But I've got 11 things I'm going to bring out from this very parable that it tells us about heaven and hell. Number one, both places exist. Both places exist. Heaven is real, and hell is real. Number two, everyone dies. The rich man dies, the poor man dies, all God's children die. In fact, the latest government statistics, as far as I can tell, say that 100% of people die. The third point from this parable, it said that angels escorted Lazarus to heaven. Well, I find that very interesting. I know I've heard of stories, people that are in the process of dying, and maybe instead of dying, they come back to life, or they're not quite there yet, but they tell stories of seeing angels at their bedside. So maybe there's something to this. Certainly there was in the parable, and why would Jesus tell it like this if there wasn't some truth to it? So do we all get an angelic escort to heaven? I don't know for sure, but this very parable seems to suggest it's a pretty good possibility. What a way to go. Number four, and again, if you've been listening to the last several sermons about heaven, you'll know that I get a kick out of this especially. There's another mention of food. It said the first thing that happened to Abraham when he got to heaven was he's at a banquet table. So not a bad deal. And he's got a seat at the table. I can just imagine myself. A table for lines, table for Bob Lines. So, but you know what? There's a table waiting for you. There's a seat waiting for you with your name on it. If, again, you'll make this decision about going to heaven right now while we're on this earth. Number five. See, these are going pretty quick. Number five. The rich man went to a place of the dead, it says, or hell. Lazarus went to heaven, and it says the rich man went to hell. Now, let me just make a point here. This parable is not saying that all poor people go to heaven and all rich people go to hell. We'll find people from all economic backgrounds while they lived on this earth in both places. But it said the rich man went to the place of the dead, and it doesn't say anything about angels escorting him, or even Satan's angels escorting him, or Satan himself grabbing him. It just says he was buried, and then he was in the place of the dead. Best I can tell, he's all alone. And there's nothing in this parable that suggests there's other people in his sight. Now, again, hell, as we understand it, there will be a lot of people there, unfortunately. And I hope we are not one of those. I know I've already made that commitment to Christ. I will not be one of those. I already know where my destiny is. I hope you do too. Number six. Hell is a place of, and then these are the words used in the parable. It's a place of torment, thirst, anguish, and flames. I believe I've experienced all those in my life here on this earth, but I can also say that I've only experienced them for minutes, hours, in some cases, maybe days. I've never been burnt by flames. Obviously, I've touched things that burnt me. You have too, more than likely. I've never been thrown in the flames. I don't know what it would be like to be in a fire. I've been thirsty. I've told stories many times in different sermons about the great thirst I had playing football in high school in the summertime, two practices a day, and so thirsty that when we had a water break, I'd take my helmet and fill it up with water from that overflowing pump and just drink that water as fast as I could, even though there was all that sweat and dirt and hair in the water in the helmet, but who cared? I was so thirsty. I know what thirst is. I've been burnt. And then it says torment and anguish. Well, let me read the definitions of those words to help us. Torment means to afflict with great bodily or mental suffering, to worry excessively. And certainly I think I've experienced that. There's some times where you've had an ache or a pain or a worry that's just so bad, it's to the point of torment. But again, it doesn't last all that long. Hasn't for me. Some of you might have different opinion of that. Some of you might be in a situation where the torment has lasted not just minutes, hours, or days, but maybe it's been months or years. But can you imagine it lasting an eternity? Well, the other word is anguish. It says the definition is excruciating distress, suffering, or pain. Most of you know that over a year and a half ago, I was had an injury at work that has left my right arm to not function fully. And for the time that I was actually in process of having medical treatment for that, for them to try to figure out what was wrong, and it ended up being several things that were wrong. One of the things being nerve damage in between my neck and shoulder. And the pain from the nerve damage was what I would call excruciating. There were times that the pain would just last, it seems like all day, every day, 24 hours a day. But you know what? It didn't last a lifetime. It didn't last for eternity. And that's one of the words used to describe hell for this rich man. Here's point number 7. Those in hell, according to the parable, those in hell, the rich man, could see in heaven. He could actually see Father Abraham. He could see Lazarus. But those in heaven, except for Abraham, so Lazarus couldn't do this, but those in heaven apparently can't see those in hell. So again, this is the parable. Is this the way it really is? Not exactly sure, but why would God put it in the Bible like this if this wasn't a pretty good indication of some of the ways we can imagine heaven or hell? Sometimes when people think about hell, they just joke about it. They say that, well, they'll just party with their friends in hell. That all their buddies will be together. And they'll just have a good time. But you know, it's not what the parable seems to suggest. Remember earlier I said that when the rich man went to hell, he was just there. There was no escort. In fact, it doesn't even say that there was anyone around. And in this particular thought, when there's this transaction of communication between Abraham and the rich man, it seems like there's no one else around. The rich man has no one else to talk to. Maybe they're there, but maybe the place is so vast that they can't see one another. Point number 8 is this. God, represented in this story by Abraham, Father Abraham, and the rich man could communicate. The rich man's talking to Abraham, and Abraham is talking to the rich man, and they're having a conversation. And even though Lazarus in the story is sitting right next to Abraham, he's not aware of the conversation. He can't see into hell. He can't see who's into hell, but certainly Father Abraham, I believe representing God, can. Number 9. This parable says that there's a great chasm between heaven and hell that cannot be crossed. Once you're in one place, there's no getting to the other place. And when we think of a chasm, just imagine the deepest crater you can think of, or a gorge, a ravine. That's what a chasm is. And the idea in the parable says it can't be crossed. 2 more points, and this is number 10. According to the parable, in hell, there's a desire to warn others. Remember the rich man, he's saying to Father Abraham, hey, if you'll just let me come back from the dead, I could tell my brothers, and they'll believe because they've never seen somebody come back from the dead, let alone their own brother. And yet, according to the parable, it's too late. It's not going to happen, and it's too late anyhow. And then here's that 11th point, and it plays off of that prior one. The Bible indicates, the parable indicates, that while living on earth, there's enough information available to everyone, and let me say it again, available to everyone, everywhere, all around the world, whether they have Facebook Live, whether they have a church, whether they have an evangelist, whether they have a Bible. The parable indicates that there's enough information available to everyone to make a decision that will lead to either heaven or hell. In the parable, it was about the book of Moses was available and anyone could read it at any time and then make that decision, heaven or hell. Today we have all kinds of means available to have information about this heaven or hell. And then even today, even right now, you're getting this information pretty directly, pretty simply, and it's up to us to make that decision. Just a reminder, there's a verse in Romans that kind of tags off on this idea that everyone has enough information. Romans 1:20 says, basically, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. So somehow this verse is indicating that if you just look at the earth, if you just look at the sky, if you just look at people, if you just look at animals, insects, the trees, the mountains, the waters, the ocean, there's enough information that of God's creation. Well, then the verse goes on to say this: through nature, we can clearly see God's invisible qualities. Those two qualities being, the two mentioned are eternal power and divine nature. And we can see those individual or invisible qualities so that we have no excuse for not knowing God. So the Bible's pretty clear there with just that one verse that nature alone is going to help us to determine, is there a God or is there not? And he'll speak to us. He'll help us to have the opportunity to make that decision, heaven or hell. Well, I'm going to wrap up here now in just a couple minutes. So after all that, what have you thought about? Have you thought about what happens to you when this life is over? Like the song says, I'll go back to that lyric. But you know, here lately, I've got other things on my mind, like living and dying and where I'll spend eternity. If you've not been thinking about it before, I know you're thinking about it now. And I've met people that I've pastored who were in the process of dying. Some of them would tell me, I sure hope I get to heaven. And that just makes me as sad as can be. But what makes me happy is that I have a response to that, that I can tell them, you don't have to hope you can get to heaven. You don't have to just hope you'll make it to heaven. We can right now, this very minute, make sure you get to heaven. And that's the good news. And that's my message to you. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you have done, if you will sincerely give your heart to God the Father by believing in His Son Jesus, then you will receive the Holy Spirit. And then listen to this. Then the Holy Spirit will confirm your salvation, and salvation is your ticket to heaven. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this specific parable, this little story in your word. I'm sure there's theologians, preachers, teachers that could spend hours explaining what this parable means. But in my simple mind, it's pretty obvious of some of the things that it gives us a glimpse of in both of these destinies, where we will spend eternity. And so my prayer right now is that everyone who's listening now or in the future will really think about where they will spend eternity. Because we're all living right now, but it's for sure that one day we'll all be dying too. And there needs to be no guesswork, Father, you know this. No guesswork. It's not going to be a trick. We're not going to accidentally fall into hell. Would you move in with your Holy Spirit all over those that are listening and watching? And if there's even one person who's not made that decision to admit that they're a sinner, to say that they know they have sinned, but they know that you provide forgiveness, and they want to repent of that sin. They want to turn away and start living life right. They believe in you. They believe in that there's a heaven, and that's where they want to spend eternity to be with you. I pray they will say yes to that right now and then start on the journey. And maybe the first thing that they can do is turn back to this chapter of Luke and read and reread this story again and realize that they can be with Father Abraham, you, God. And they can be at the banquet table. And they can be in peace and happiness, comfort, love, beauty, and all that heaven offers forever and ever. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, just to let those know, if you signed on late, we are, I'm doing the message from in front of the parsonage on the porch this morning due to the fact that someone I had been in contact with, Jan and I both have been in contact with a week ago, tested positive for COVID. So we're in a quarantine situation now and for the next better than a week. And so next week you'll find us back here on Facebook for the message. And if you can go to the churches, Kennard or Caddis Friends, there'll be someone providing a message there too. So hey, you get two for one if you wanted. Anyhow, prayers for you. I appreciate prayers for Jan and I and all those affected by this virus one way or another. Again, we feel fine, no problems at all, but we're just being extra cautious to stay away for now. So with that, let me just say, be blessed and be a blessing. Thank you.